Session number 12248, Mr. J. Forster, Reel 9.
Mr. J. Forster, Reel 9. In the Gazala box, Mr. Forster, what was the situation regarding getting food to you?
Well, food, the ration trucks, they came up from Tobruk. That was the main headquarters for rations. They came up, rations. But the majority was on hardtack. It was biscuits, and they had biscuits, so it's like bully beef, and fresh rations. Well, maybe once a week you'd get fresh rations, once a week, but otherwise you were on bully beef stew and such like, all tinned stuff. We used to get these tinned, dehydrated cabbage and potatoes and something, all kinds of different veg, all dehydrated in tins. And that's where we got the veg from, to mix up with the biscuits and such like. But bread, we never saw any bread. Never saw any bread. And water, we were allowed about a pint a day water, and that was shaving, just like when you shaved. But you got your water bottle filled in the morning, and that was it. That was it, that was your water ration for the day, for shaving, washing, and whatever.
Did water come up in a water carrier?
Water came up in a water carrier, and the water carrier used to go to Tobruk, the battalion's water carrier. And it was shared out from the water carrier, you see. And they used to go every day for fresh water to the to Tobruk, which was the nearest place for fresh water. And we're just having one water carrier in the battalion. He only brought, forget how many gallons now he'd drink. Not a right lot. But that had to last year per day.
Did you do your own cooking, or was there a cookhouse?
No, there's a cookhouse. Cookhouse, yes, cookhouse. For each company, had their own cookhouse. And the companies were based along the escarpment, and each company had their cookhouse, and headquarter company at the rear, they had their own cookhouse.
Well, how many meals a day did you get?
Oh, we only got one cooked meal a day. That was in the evening, and then in the morning, breakfast, we were lucky if we got anything more than porridge. We used to get porridge. Made with water, no milk. Made with water. Thick porridge. And a couple of biscuits. That was your breakfast.
Were there any supplementation to the supplies, say chocolate or cigarettes and these kind of things? How were they getting to you?
No, Nappy stuff, what came up, they were very, very rare. The nappy came up, any stuff. I think the nearest one, what came up more often, was the Salvation Army, with their truck. They used to come up when everything was quiet. they would come up and the lads would get stuff what would last them a week or more. Well, I had the chance to buy it a week or more. But very rare we seen the naffy truck come up. And as for getting rations through and chocolate and that, well, if a truck went to Tobruk, he would take an order in from each company, and then he'd get it, pick it up in the naffy in Tobruk, pick it up and bring it back out. Same that if I went to Tobruk, I always used to take about a dozen empty petrol tins. They used to come in five gallon petrol tins. And I used to take those to Tobruk and fill them full of seawater. I couldn't fill them full of drinking water, so I filled them full of seawater and brought them back for the lads to wash in. Well, we used to get special soap, naphtha soap. No, not that naphtha soap used to give you a lather. And then the lads used to make a bit of a shower, you know, a shower, and you could get underneath and they could have a shower out of these tins of seawater. But company, my own company that then. That was just for my own company. I don't know what the other companies did, but I did that from my own company when I went into Tobruk.
You mentioned the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Were these men or were the women with the
men,
Salvation Army trucks?
There were men, and there was women come up sometime, yeah. Yeah, there was women come up, yeah. The Salvation Army they were always the nearest. They were the best of the lot, the Salvation Army. Oh, yes, for being near the troops. Oh, yeah, they're much better than the naffy for the Salvation Army. Yeah. They're good.
Did you have the usual church parades once a week or whenever?
There was a church service every week. For those that could get to it, you know, that weren't on duty. Oh, yes. Yes, the padres were there, the padres. Yes, you had a church service every Sunday. And the ones that weren't on duty used to go on church parade. Yes.
Did you find the padres particularly helpful in the situation?
Padres were good. Oh, yes, padres were good. Very good, and a lot of people relied on the padres for getting messages home, and looks like. And any troubles you had, if you go to the padre, he would sort them out for you. But they were very good. They'd have been lost without the padre. Oh, yeah.
Did you witness any particular problems which any of the men had?
Well, they were always getting, there's always problems, you know, the things happening over in England, what used to upset them, every year you'd get deaths of their mother or father or someone in the family, you know, or that, and then maybe one that the wife couldn't wait for them coming home, so she went off with somebody else, and then they'd get a letter from a neighbour or something, you see, and that used to upset them a lot. Well, that is where the padres come in, Andy, because the padres used to find out the real truth from right home, you know, to the padre and to the priest or vicar or whatever it may be in their hometown, and find the real truth, yeah. That's where they come in, Andy.
Did you find that religion was a strength to you in this situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, as many a one prayed I'd never prayed before. There were times in times. Oh, yeah. Oh, aye. They were, especially in some awkward circumstances, you know, only awkward circumstances.
We've talked about the latrines, and you've mentioned washing and the soap that you had. What was the hygiene of the troops like? Was it extremely difficult to keep clean?
To keep clean, it was to in wet weather it was bad, but if it was dry, the sand it didn't dirty you. Sand didn't dirty you. It was only when the wet weather come. The trouble was the sand getting in your hair and that, you know, that's the way it was. The devil to get it out, sand. The only time you could really get it out was when you got the shower. But they did. There used to be mobile baths come around, but not regular. Now and again, they had the whole troops to go around, you know. And there wasn't such a lot of them, but these mobile baths used to come around and set up, and they could all go and have a bath, and then that would maybe last them for a month or 2 months. Yeah.
What about change of clothing then? As obviously your clothes got worn.
The clothes, well, when they're worn, I mean, they're going around. There is times when you're going around big holes in your pants and such like your shirts, but you had to wait until you could get a change from the quartermaster, you know. But if you got over, say, happened to get over to the South African lines or something like that, well, it was easy to pick a shirt up or a pair of pants off the South Africans. They had seemed to have more than what we had, you know, it was readily available. Yeah, and that's where I was very lucky. I wore a lot of South African clothes because I used to go to the South African regiment next to us every morning. The company commanders and such like used to report to one another every morning, you know, what was going on in the front of them. And I was lucky that way. Yes, I was lucky. But some were... there were clothes and tatters, you know, and especially the blokes who were on carriers, stuff like that. The uniform used to get in a mess, you know.
What were the common ailments that people were catching?
Sandfly was one.
And what was that? How did that affect you?
Well, sandfly, it can put you out of action, or it's like a fever. It's like a fever, sandfly. And it can put you out of action for a few days, yes.
Was this the bite of a fly that...
Yeah. And the other one was a rash you used to get, a nasty rash, and that was with the sand as well, and it's nasty rash. But later on, they overcame this rash. They got an ointment out, but used to overcome it. But at the beginning, it used to be bad. You couldn't sleep. You wanted to scratch. And some used to get these septic sores. It all depended on what sort of healing properties you had inside you, you know. If you were good healing flesh and such like, they didn't bother you much. But some, if they weren't, all used to turn into ulcers and abscesses and all. Bad. Yeah. Very bad.
What was the method of reporting sick, if you were particularly ill?
Well, if you were sick, you reported sick and it started down from the platoon, you see. Platoon commander reported sick to him, and then you'd go he'd send you forward to the company doctor, you know, company commander, and he would send you forward to battalion, according to the MO, medical officer. And that's the way you went from platoon, company, and then battalion.
Did the officers carry out, as part of their duties, a check upon the men's health regularly?
The, what you'd say, check up. They relied more or less on the men telling them that they were sick, you know, poorly. They didn't come around saying, are you all right, are you all right, are you all right? No, they relied on you going and telling them, I'm not so good today, I'm poorly. Yeah. It was more or less that way.
Were you getting mail from home?
We got mail. Mail was funny. You would get mail regular sometimes. And then maybe you'd have a month or 2 months to wait before you got another letter. It all depended, I think, on the convoys. There was a lot of mail sunk, you know, in convoys. But towards the end, we heard that they were flying them over by plane. When the planes come out, that they brought so much mail. And I think that was when we were getting it regular.
Did that include parcels?
No, just mail, no.
And your own mail going out, that would be censored, no doubt?
That was censored, your own mail, yes, that was censored.
In what way did that happen?
Well, you see, all you had your battalion post office. Well, first of all, they would go through your company commander. The company commander would censor all the mail. And then, if there wasn't anything special and he was satisfied with it, he just sealed it up and put on censored, and that was it, okay? But if there was something he was fishy about, well, that went up to the battalion. And then the intelligence officer used to look through that, see that everything was okay. Because certain... phrases, what used to go through in letters, is more or less as a code to the families at home, you know. And the same as I told you earlier about me in Baghdad. But there was phrases like that, and that was the only way you could tell people where you were, your home people, you know.
So this was how, this is what the officers were looking for.
That's what they were looking for. They were looking to make sure that you didn't get word home where you were. It was all right saying you were in the Middle East, and where that was all right, but the very position where you were.
What was the effect of living in these conditions for quite a while? What effect did that have upon the morale of the soldiers and the way in which you kept yourselves occupied?
Well, they did everything to keep themselves occupied, you know, all sorts of things. But if they had a football, they spent a lot of their time playing football, or cricket. And night times, it's play cards.